very, very special guest today. He was the 75th Attorney General of the United States of America under Ronald Reagan. Served as served with Governor Reagan from 1967 to 1974. Served as special counsel to President Reagan from 81 to 85 and was named Attorney General in 1985 and served through 1988. Sir, you're a great patriot. Mr. Ed Meese, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be with you and your listeners.
Our pleasure having you. Now, we'll dive right in here. Reagan fired the air traffic controllers, and they were a union, and the union that worked for government. We have the issues here in Wisconsin. I'd love to hear your opinion, have your weigh on, and how you see that unfolding and what should happen. I'd love to hear your opinion.
Well, of course, it's a little hard so far, but from what I've seen in the news accounts and other accounts, including our own Heritage people. I'm at the Heritage Foundation now, being some interviews there on the scene over the weekend. But from what I understand, we have government unions rebelling against the taxpayers and the citizens of Wisconsin.
Sir, we can't hear you at all. Can you hear us? We completely lost you. If you can hear me, just give us a call back once you get a little better signal. As we're waiting for Ed Meese to call us back, the situation in Wisconsin, it seems to me that as it escalates and continues to escalate, it's caught on in Ohio, and this is a watershed moment for our nation, because the simple fact is government worker unions are negotiating against themselves and other taxpayers, and it just doesn't seem to work. Mr. Meese, you back with us?
I'm back with you. Sorry.
No problem at all. If you could repeat your answer, just kind of weigh in, if you would, on the situation in Wisconsin, and what would the Reagan administration done about that, or would they have weighed in at all?
All right. I'll start from the beginning.
Great.
While it's always hard to judge a situation totally from a distance, but from what I understand from news accounts, and from our own Heritage people, that's the Heritage Foundation where I work, we had our teams on the scene over the weekend. So it appears that you have the government unions rebelling against the citizens of Wisconsin. It is very reminiscent, of course, as you point out, of what Ronald Reagan faced back in 1981 when the air traffic controllers refused to honor their oath as well as violating the law, the federal law against striking. And it appears you have some of the same situation going on now in Wisconsin. I was particularly concerned, as I'm sure the citizens there are, by the misstatements, the false statements being made to the public, the lack of civility in the attacks on the governor personally, and also the fraud that's taking place where teachers are conspiring with doctors to get the phony excuses for being sick when actually they're out there as part of the rebellion.
You know, it seems to me that's if you're lying to your employer, certainly that's not an ethical thing. It may be from the teacher's concern, it may be unethical, but from the doctor's standpoint, that's a violation of the law. Don't you think there should be some repercussions for that?
Absolutely. I think any doctor who does that should lose their license to practice medicine.
I completely agree with you. Completely agree. That's a mess. And I want to also, while I have you on the phone, talk about the Middle East just a second. You were involved in a lot of different issues with the Reagan administration, dealt with the terrorist attacks in Lebanon, hostage taking, Iran-Contra, the Iran-Iraq war, Navy escorts, oil tankers through the Persian Gulf. Compare that period of time and this period of time, if you would, and tell me what the Reagan administration, how you think they would have handled it, the Middle East right now.
Well, I think the Reagan administration would have deplored the violence being used against people who are seeking to change the government in the countries in which there's involvement. At the same time, I think they would also be concerned about the forces hostile to the United States and to the rest of the world taking over and taking advantage of what appears to be, at least in many of the countries, a genuine rebellion or wish on the part of the people to restore democratic government or to gain democratic government against the people who are now ruling those countries. So it's a complex situation. I think, number one, there needs to be a call to not have violence against the people, as appears to be having in Libya and elsewhere. Secondly, to support people genuinely interested in democracy. And thirdly, being very careful in our handling that we don't make the situation worse.
What do you think is the, if you're advising President Obama, what are the things that we need to do to protect the interests of the United States in that region, in the Middle East?
Well, one of the things is that we should take definitive action against those people who are violating the law. And I'm talking now about the Somali pirates who have just killed American citizens.
It's tragic.
Very tragic. And I think that we certainly should exercise responsibility and authority to protect American citizens and American interests. So I think that's definitely one thing that we should do. The second thing is I think we should be sure that we're getting an accurate picture of the situation there and who these forces are, what the reasons are for people rebelling against their government, and also whether there are any sinister groups that are trying to, in the long run, trying to gain traction in those countries.
You know, the Attorney General, or the head of the CIA, I guess, said recently that he didn't think the Muslim Brotherhood was an Islamic extremist group, didn't think it was that dangerous. I'm paraphrasing. What's your response to that?
Well, I think that the Muslim Brotherhood throughout the world has had a tradition of promoting violence, promoting Sharia law, promoting other things that would be very foreign, certainly to us. And I think that if those forces that would to advance a form of government that is not reasonable in terms of what protecting the people, of trying to dominate women and really disrespectful of women, and have a lot of problems like that, I don't think this would be advantageous to the people that are involved there. So it's a matter of a much more careful definition of the groups that are involved than what seemed to be what the current administration is recognizing.
Boy, I agree with that. How do you think the Obama administration did in handling Egypt specifically?
Well, I think they were somewhat ambivalent and somewhat unstable in their reactions. It was almost changing from day to day. It kind of looked a little bit like amateur hour in terms of foreign policy.
Didn't it?
I think if they had a better position or a better stance on the thing, they would have been better just not to speak out.
Boy, I agree with that. And as I look at the foreign policy of this administration, I look at the Green Movement in Iran, we remain silent as a country. In Egypt, I think you said it pretty well. And then we look at what happened in Libya right now, and we really aren't taking a stance and saying too much about a guy, a Gaddafi, shooting at his own people. And we know that for a fact because the guys that defected, the pilots that defected with planes, are saying that. What should we do in Libya, and what can we do to make sure this doesn't continue to catch fire? I mean, it's a problem of our own doing, but what do we do to stop it now?
Well, it's very difficult, obviously. We're not going to send in the Marines to try to settle what is essentially becoming a civil war. At the same time, I think we should be very clear in terms of our absolute anger and dismay at the way in which people are being killed there, the violence that's taking place at the hands of the government. I think we should rally the rest of the countries in the region to likewise condemn it, and to use every possible way that we have, every possible influence that we have, to get it stopped.
You know, kind of changing gears here, Ronald Reagan was my favorite president, and the administration, which obviously you were a part of, I think did great things. Tell me your fondest memories of being the Attorney General and working with Ronald Reagan, would you?
Well, I think it was, in fact, the opportunity to work with President Reagan. Actually, it was a great privilege to be the Attorney General under him. He was such a strong defender of the Constitution and accurately portraying the Constitution in law cases and so on. I think standing up for originalism and the fidelity to the Constitution was probably my greatest memory, because he was so strong on that, and together we were able to do some interesting things of changing the debate in the country over how the Constitution should be defended.
Sir, as we wind up here, we're coming on a hard break here in just a second, but if you're working with the Heritage Foundation, is that correct?
That's correct. I head up their Center for Legal and Judicial Studies.
Tell me this. If somebody wants to get involved with the Heritage Foundation, they want to donate, they want to learn more about you know, the conservative movement and Ronald Reagan and what he did, tell me how they would get in touch with you and the Heritage Foundation.
The best way is to look at the Heritage Foundation website, which is that we have two. One is Ask Heritage, and the other is heritage.org.
So
both of them will lead you to the Heritage information, which includes information about reaching me.
So heritage.org is the website address.
Heritage.org, right.
Sir, you are a great American, a patriot. It's been an honor and a privilege to have you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you, and particularly what you're doing for the free enterprise system and for the country.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that greatly.
Thank you.
Thanks again.